Tonight, I'm going to talk about patience. This was a topic that in the discussion last week, folks expressed some interest in patience. And I'll begin by saying, of course, in Buddhism, there's so much emphasis on the present moment. And that's precisely because our vitality is in the present moment. Our deeper possibilities of consciousness and awareness are in the present moment. Even the source of our emotions is in the present moment. Now, we can project emotion out into the future or into the past, but emotion is in the present. And that's why so much of Buddhism is about focusing on present moment experience. And so patience is an odd thing to look at in that lens. I mean, in some sense, impatience is pure resistance to the present moment, you know? So I want to read a quote about patience. This is a quote from David White. This will be on the quote sheet I share later. We often say to ourselves, I need to be patient. And when we're children, we're told to be patient. It's a really terrible thing to be told to be patient, because the word patience is just a description for a phenomenology that is totally different on the outside. Patience is not something you can manufacture. Patience is what another experience looks like from the outside. Patience is what presence looks like, what rest looks like from the outside. And it's absolutely true. We can't manufacture patience just, you know, with willpower in the moment, you know, the way we might be able to manufacture some courage or some perseverance or something like that. So what are some steps we could take to move toward patience? Part of patience is purely cognitive, and it's about our frame and our perspective. And what I mean by that is, suppose somebody came to this sangha and for some reason was under the misapprehension that it was only an hour-long sangha, that it went from 6:30 to 7:30, okay? I don't know how someone would get that misinformation, but suppose someone had that point of view. And so they thought, all right, there'd be meditation, and then people share, and then Mike talks for a minute or two, and then it's over. And then, of course, I'd keep on talking, and it'd be after 7:30, and that person would be wondering, what's going on? How come he's talking? You know, and they might be getting impatient, you know? Now, of course, you know that it doesn't end at 7:30. You're probably not even aware of the clock time. And, you know, so in other words, the perspective you have, if you have misinformation about how long something's going to take, that's a cause for impatience. Now, of course, the Sangha is something with a definitive, you know, starting and stopping clock time, unlike many of our experiences in life. And I think there's ways that we often have explicit or implicit expectations, excuse me, about how long something is going to take. And often we underestimate, we grossly underestimate how long things are going to take. You know, I only have one thing to do in the post office. I'll just run in and out. It'll be quick. You know, that kind of thing. Or, you know, have to finish up resolve that conflict I have with my lover. This will only take 10 minutes, I'm sure. You know, like that kind of thing. You know, I'm being a little bit silly, but in other words, there's ways that we habitually underestimate. And I think to some extent that comes out of a sense of scarcity dealing with time. You know, it's a very interesting question. What would your relationship to time look like if you had an abundant relationship with time? You know, and it's not necessarily even that your daily obligations would be different, but a different frame of reference in looking at them. So part of patience is is cognitive, but part of it is a defense against what is present. You know, if I'm impatient, my head is totally fixed on that thing. When is that thing going to happen? That thing that I want. You know, it's very much a game of expectations. And I'm more or less ignoring where I am in the present moment. Now, admittedly, it's incredibly hard to be patient if we're in physical pain. That is something incredibly hard. It's incredibly hard to be patient if we are subject to some urgent biological need, if we're starving, if we have to go to the bathroom, you know, something like this, something where there's tremendous urgency to it. Now, the funny thing is that emotions sometimes present with that same kind of urgency. But that's all, emotions usually have that edge of urgency because they're coming from a place of trauma, you know? I mean, it's true that we all need attention, affection, appreciation. We all need these sorts of things, but we don't necessarily need it like urgently in this moment, you know, if you see what I mean. As long as we're getting enough of it overall in life, our needs are being met. And so there's, you know, it's always something just to watch in ourselves what's going on when there's urgency around an emotional need. There's a way that when we're impatient, we're abandoning ourselves. You know, because often the wounded places, the uncomfortable places, our childhood places. They're places that were wounded in childhood. And many times there are places that were neglected or abandoned in childhood. And then the adult self, you know, again, these feelings are coming up, and the adult self goes into the story of impatience. When is that thing going to happen? You know, and the adult self is also abandoning. So we're repeating the pattern of abandonment. The great attachment theorist John Bowlby said, we do as we've been done by. You know, in other words, whatever pattern wounded us, we continue to act out that pattern, you know. And so, I mean, in this perspective, there's tremendous, it's a tremendous gesture of self-love simply to question impatience, simply to question, you know, what am I avoiding by being impatient? What am I avoiding? What am I trying not to feel in this present moment? You know? And the present moment is always incredibly rich. If we can get comfortable dropping into the present moment, there's more than enough happening in any present moment to occupy us, you know. And it's particularly telling, you know, when are the times that we're prone to get most impatient, and what are the patterns there, and what are the patterns of the things that I'm refusing to see, to feel, or refusing to be present. So at this point, I'll share the quote sheet. The top quote is from the David White quote that I read earlier. The Buddha said, the greatest prayer is patience. Patience is one of these virtues. Basically, every religion on earth has good things to say about patience. Julius Caesar said, it is easier to find men who will volunteer to die than to find those who are willing to endure pain with patience. Rumi said, listen, make a way for yourself inside yourself Stop looking in the other way of looking. I love that. It's so simple. St. Francis de Sales said, have patience with all things, but first of all, with yourself. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, adopt the pace of nature. Her secret is patience. And I think there's a way that our ancestors who lived more in touch with nature just naturally were more patient. You know, we live in this strange world, especially now during COVID, where we're exposed to screens, you know, and we expect everything to download and pop up instantly. You know, we expect the whole world to be at our fingertips, you know, and there's something unnatural about that in a way. It's not what we're designed for. Arnold Bennett said, any change, even a change for the better, is always accompanied by drawbacks and discomfort. Carl Jung said, even a happy life cannot be without a measure of darkness, and the word happy would lose its meaning if it were not balanced by sadness. It is far better to take things as they come along with patience and equanimity. Rilke said, be patient toward all that is unsolved in your heart, and try to love the questions themselves, like locked rooms and like books that are now written in a very foreign tongue. Do not seek the answers which cannot be given to you because you would not be able to live them. And the point is to live everything. Live the questions now. Perhaps you will then gradually, without noticing it, live along some distant day into the answer. C.S. Lewis said, we were promised sufferings. They were part of the program. We were even told, blessed are they that mourn, and I accept it. I've gotten nothing that I hadn't bargained for. Of course, it is different when the thing happens to oneself, not to others, in reality, not in imagination. Eric Erickson said, the more you know yourself, the more patience you can have for what you see in others. So true. Patience is an incredible gift we give to other people. Annemarie Lindberg said, the sea does not reward those who are too anxious, too greedy, or too impatient. To dig for treasures not only shows impatience and greed, but a lack of faith. Patience, patience, patience is what the sea teaches. Patience and faith. One should lie empty, open, choiceless as a beach, waiting for a gift from the sea. The John Bowlby quote I quoted earlier, we do as we have been done by. Carlos Castaneda said, death is our internal companion. It is always to our left at an arm's length. It always has been watching you. It always will into the day it taps you. The thing to do when you're impatient is to turn to your left and ask advice from your death. An immense amount of pettiness is dropped if your death makes a gesture to you, or if you catch a glimpse of it, or if you catch the feeling that your companion is there watching you. And it is true, there's an extraordinary amount of wisdom that comes simply from remembering our own mortality. The Dalai Lama said, tolerance and patience should not be read as signs of weakness. They are signs of strength. The mathematician Douglas Hofstadter announced Hofstadter's Law. It always takes longer than you expect, even when you take into account Hofstadter's Law. I love that. James Richardson says, patience is not very different from courage. It just takes longer. Bruce Lee said, I'm not in this world to live up to your expectations, and you're not in this world to live up to mine. Joyce Meyer said, patience is not simply the ability to wait. It's how we behave while we're waiting. Peter McMillan said, comfort zones are most often expanded through discomfort. Anne Lamott said, faith includes noticing the mess, the emptiness and discomfort, and letting it be there until some light returns. The Zen teacher Sharon Salzberg says, patience does not mean making a pact with the devil of denial, ignoring our emotions and aspirations. It means being wholeheartedly engaged in the process that's unfolding, rather than ripping open the budding flower or demanding a caterpillar hurry up and get that chrysalis stage over with. Yonghae Mingyur Rinpoche said, ultimate happiness comes down between choosing the discomfort of becoming aware of your mental afflictions and the discomfort of being ruled by them. Very blunt. And Jonathan Lockwood Yui said, a wonderful gift may not be wrapped up as you expect.